If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
And we've come to what has become quite a favorite, actually, on this show. And it's taxing times with the Shabalalas. And we have none other than CEO of Netvest, Busisiwe Mdletshe, who's an accounting and tax practitioner, and they're based in Sandton. But she's given us grief, actually, over the last couple of weeks. She's been because you think you know, ne? And then you realize how little you know. So now we start with the story of Thabo, one of the Shabalalas. And Thabo is a big shot. Bagged himself a 2 million rand tender. Ne?
Correct.
Until the tax man comes knocking. So talk to us about what has gone wrong with this entire process of Thabo and his 2 million rand, and why the tax man finds himself knocking at his door, obviously unpleased with Thabo.
Yeah. Thank you for having me, Pemelo. So what's happening with Thabo, he got awarded this contract. Mm-hmm. You know, actually, Pemelo, when I was writing this episode, yes, I thought Thabo won a tender.
Yes.
Then I realized that maybe that's where we get it wrong, mm-hmm, when we say they've won a tender, because mm-hmm, you're thinking
it's a lottery.
Won, yes,
it's a lottery.
It's gambling.
Yes.
Therefore, I don't need to pay taxes.
It's a lottery.
So he was awarded this contract, and it's a construction contract. Now, the contract is for 2 million rands, and then he therefore submits his VAT returns,
okay,
to SARS. When he submits, now he claims VAT on the expenses or the transactions that he incurs.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things like when he buys equipment,
yes,
you know, and all those kinds of business-related expenses. Now, he receives a letter from SARS. SARS is saying, hey, Thabo, you are under audit.
What about ours?
Now,
he's, what does that mean? First of all, let's break, yeah, that down. What does being under audit mean?
Yeah. So when he's being audited, what it means is he submitted a VAT return,
yes,
and SARS, they want more information just,
yes,
to verify his submission,
yes,
if it's accurate.
Okay.
Now, in the event or in the case of VAT, he would have submitted the VAT output, which is based on the revenue that he earned, and VAT on expenses.
Yes.
So he's trying to claim VAT,
correct,
that he has paid his suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
So SARS is not always keen on releasing that VAT.
Yeah.
So they want to confirm that your claim is valid. So they want to inspect the supporting documents. Those are things like invoices,
mm-hmm,
to confirm that the expenses that you are claiming for were incurred for business purposes.
Mm.
And they attracted VAT. So, for example, his brother is now saying, Thabo, let's hope you're not claiming for groceries.
Yes.
Now, when you think of things like groceries, with small business owners, they tend to fall into the trap of bringing all the invoices that they have in their possession.
Yeah.
So things like groceries...
No, it's not just... It's not like that. It's my invoices, and I ask for yours too.
You ask for mine too.
Give me any slip. Anyone with slips,
no,
here. That's how it works.
It doesn't work like that. So you have to submit the tax invoices that relate to the business, right? Now, things like groceries, those are considered to be private expenses. They are,
wait,
not for business.
Let's pause. So, Office X, Thabo runs a construction company, right? And in this construction company, he's a decent employer. He buys them coffee and sugar and milk and tea. Would that not be something that he can submit in the list of things that...
That's different now. That's for business purposes. That's not for private consumption.
Yes.
If he buys groceries for his family...
Got you.
That's different.
And, yeah, and the point I'm trying to make is the distinction and how fine that line can be. Because actually, when you think about what may run a construction company or any business for that matter... you'd be buying toilet paper, you'd be buying things
like
that
consumables,
clean,
yes,
and clean the office. In a, it can look a little bit like your own home grocery list.
So that's why, therefore, when you submit the invoice, it's called a tax invoice for VAT purposes,
mm-hmm,
it needs to be a valid tax invoice according to Section 24 of the VAT Act.
Mm-hmm.
So what they mean about it being valid, they say it needs to show the name of the supplier and the name of the customer.
Okay.
So when you buy, let's say,
these,
it needs to reflect the name of the taxpayer.
When you are purchasing...
Yes.
So maybe if you are purchasing, use your business card. In other words, it must be for business.
Yes. Okay. But even if it doesn't matter how you're paying for it, even if you were using cash or you were using your personal bank card, but the invoice itself, it needs to show the name of the buyer, so the name of your business.
How would that be clear? If how would it be clear if you're buying, you know, the soap and the toilet paper?
So what the Act says is, if it's small items like consumables, things less than 3,000 rands, you can get away with
at
that.
At a time.
Yes. And it needs to be something that is reasonable for the business, you know. Mm. So now you are running this construction business and always buying at Shisanyama, and then you're paying about 20,000 rands per month, you know. That might sound unreasonable for this type of your business and the size of the business.
Tabo is running a business, right?
A construction business.
Tabo is an entrepreneur. Tabo has done all the workshops and has taken the lessons. Network, network, network is what they tell him. And for these networking meetings and things, he goes out, right? It's dinner here, it's drinks there. It's part of networking. What kind of discretion does SARS expect you to have with that kind of an expense?
So now you're calling it networking. So you are networking for business purposes, right? So you're running an enterprise, right? Because that is an expense that you are incurring in order for you to earn taxable supplies, right? So the invoice that you get there, it's something that you can produce. There's something for VAT purposes that is called entertainment. So entertainment, let's say now you are traveling, you're going out of town, and then you buy stuff, whatever that you'll be consuming, like lunch. And in the case where you are the business yourself,
yes.
You are a professional service provider. Now, whatever expenses that you would have incurred or lunch that you would have bought, then on those invoices, you are expected to claim VAT because you would have incurred that for business purposes.
Where in your scenario did he go wrong?
So with Tabo, he claimed expenses like groceries, like we've spoken about groceries being private, so they are prohibited. And then he claimed expenses like fuel. Fuel is zero rated.
Big one. Yes. Big one.
Think about this, Pamela. When you go to the gas station and you pour fuel into your vehicle, you get an invoice, a tax invoice. But that invoice will show the amount of gas you've poured, and it would say VAT 0%, meaning it's zero rated. So therefore, you cannot claim VAT from SARS because you never paid VAT when you acquired that fuel. And then another mistake he made was he claimed VAT on salaries. Now, salaries was paying his employees, right? When you pay employees, employees don't issue you with an invoice, but you are just remunerating them for having worked for you. So it's remuneration on employment. And employees are not VAT vendors, so they don't issue a tax invoice. Now, him including the payroll schedule in the VAT submission, that was technically incorrect. So that's where he went wrong. Hence, now all these submissions triggered an audit.
Is the mistake people make to do what they would have done as individuals with a business like this? Because that's probably what he used to do. He would just take any slip that you see, you submit. Let's say you are, we spoke about freelancers, I think, the last time.
Independent contractors.
And I think the rules are slightly different there, because we are now speaking about the individual who is, as a person, is rendering the, as a professional, is rendering their services, and therefore there are many things about this individual that require them to utilize themselves. So if I buy lipstick, for instance, it's to you, it's not a thing. To me, it's professional, you know, and it's always questionable. But because people get away with that as independent contractors, it doesn't mean that they can get away with that in a company like this that is properly registered for VAT and so on.
100%, because that expense would not have been relevant for him to derive income in this business. And again, there's VAT and there's another tax type called income tax.
That's it.
Right. If that expense was necessary, like for example, back to salaries,
yes,
he incurred this expense as salaries for VAT purposes, we are saying it's not a taxable supply.
And fuel. You're putting it in the wrong category, exactly. In the wrong bracket.
Yes. However, for income tax purposes, in income tax, they say in Section 11A of the Income Tax Act, they say this expense was necessarily incurred in the production of income. Therefore, he would have been allowed to claim that expense. So back to example of a lipstick. If it's actually or necessarily incurred for you to produce your income as an independent contractor, then you can go ahead and claim it. But it's something that you'll be able to, you need to prove to SARS. You need to have relevant material, meaning you must produce sufficient supporting documents that supports your story, why you incurred this expense and how was it relevant for you to derive income.
We spoke about tax avoidance, which is illegal.
Which is legal.
Legal.
Permissible, yes.
Okay.
And then there's tax evasion.
Evasion.
Which is not.
Which is
legal.
Not.
Yeah.
So in this regard, how would you best assist him to derive the best outcome from whatever it is that he's trying to do? He's trying to grow a little business.
Yes.
You know, he wants to be compliant, but there he is now submitting fuel slips which are not relevant with the tax, with these VAT. What would you call it? Is it a VAT return?
VAT return.
Okay.
You know, when I look at this family, the Shabalalas, these are people who want to be tax compliant.
They are
law-abiding citizens.
Decent people.
But the challenge is because, I mean, even when they get letters from SARS, they open those
and
letters.
And they go there and ask.
Exactly. Mm. So when there's an audit, they are cooperative, they want to work with SARS. But the challenge here, I think it was an interpretation issue where they did not understand. So because it became technical for them. So when Thabo was submitting, because he's thinking at the end of every second month, I need to submit my VAT return. And then he's looking at all the expenses that he has incurred and is including everything there, forgetting that some of these expenses do not attract VAT, right? So it's a technical issue. So how we could have solved this, he could have hired a tax practitioner.
Yeah, yes. Because it's like a legal matter,
yes,
where you go to court believing you're right. Sometimes it's not enough.
Sometimes it's not enough. So that's why now you need an expert that will guide you.
You need a legal representation.
I mean, another example, Pamela, would be when we say you need to submit a valid tax invoice.
Yes.
So when you acquire or when you buy, like now we learned that Thabo bought an equipment from one of his suppliers. Mm-hmm. It turned out that the invoice that he submitted, SARS deemed it not to be valid. But according to Thabo, it had the supplier's name, it had the VAT number, it had everything. But now he's thinking, how would I have known that this invoice was not valid?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, think of yourself when you go to a hardware, for example, you buy something and you only get to receive an invoice at the till stage. And at that point in time, you are unable or you don't have capacity to detect if the invoice is valid or not, as long as you have those details.
What an invalid invoice?
So an invalid invoice is an invoice that would not have the supplier's details, that will not have the tax number, the VAT number. That will not have the buyer's details, and it will not have the description of goods. By description, what we mean is, like, for example, if now you buy something like paint, paint is a taxable supply, it attracts VAT at 15%, standard rated. But now if you buy something like fuel, we said it's zero rated. So therefore, it's important that the tax invoice shows the description so that SARS, when they inspect this invoice, they know the correct VAT rate was applied on these goods.
Or, if we go back to your other episodes,
please.
The person who's issuing this invoice, who may have taken VAT from you, if they themselves are not VAT registered, that deems that invoice
invalid. If they're going to charge you.
Exactly
VAT,
my point.
That's where I was going. Yeah. And what they've done.
And so you must check. So when you check your invoice, check that there is a VAT registration number.
But now another challenge is, Pamela, you can check or you can inspect the invoice, you see the VAT number, but you don't know if it belongs to them.
Oh, I see. I see. Because I could have asked Eddie, hey, give me your number there. And I can just put it in my letterhead or the invoice or whatever. And it's not
it's not compliant or it's not mine.
It's not compliant because it's not yours. Mm. Or someone like Thabo, you find that he owns a construction business that's registered for VAT, and he also owns maybe a bakery.
Yeah.
And then now when he's issuing an invoice for bakery, he uses the VAT number for the construction company because of lack of knowledge, right? And he thinks this VAT number belongs to one of my businesses.
Yeah,
therefore,
fine.
I can use it for my other business. While that's not permissible because those are different enterprises. So now, in your case as a customer, when you walk into this shop, you won't be able to tell whether this VAT number is valid or not. Until you submit your VAT returns, when SARS is auditing you, they can contact this supplier to find out if this VAT number is matching this supplier. And if it's not and the invoice is not valid, luckily for you, it won't be your problem because it would have ticked all the boxes that there was a VAT number and everything else. But now SARS will go for that supplier because that's the person who would have committed fraud.
But if we were strict and we wanted to make sure that our business is functioning properly, that is why sometimes you would have big companies delay payments. They themselves are doing that internal audit themselves.
They are verifying. They want tax clearance certificate
to confirm. I'm not paying for these goods until I can be sure that you are 1, 2, 3. Yes. Give me this, give me that, give me confirmation.
Yeah.
That's partly the reason.
Correct. Because, I mean, when they request for things like tax clearance certificate, that's a document that will show all the tax types you are registered for.
Yes.
And if you are compliant, meaning you've been submitting your tax returns and, you know, meeting all the requirements as prescribed in the tax laws. Yeah.
There's a little practice I want to ask you about.
And
it's a distinction I want you to make because for others, they say, no, I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing.
Mm.
Others maybe don't present themselves like... So it's these individuals that work in SARS that... I suppose, I don't know whether this is a side hustle, but let's just say, and help people on the side. Now, my question to you about those people is how careful businesses and individuals should be about those kinds of people. Because sometimes, as you said earlier, generally people like the Shabalalas are not trying to evade
tax.
They're not trying to do that. But you, according to the law, you are responsible for your tax matters. It doesn't matter whether Busi has done whatever they've done on my... You must be accountable. So how do we check that the practitioner is, the right practitioner? And how do we do that?
Yes. So you can check that with the professional tax bodies. You know, one of them is... SITES, South African Institute of Tax Professionals. Another one is SICA, South African Institute of Chartered Accountants, and SIPA for professional accountants. So you can check with them because now when you appoint a tax practitioner, you can ask for the tax practice number and ask with which professional board are they registered. And then you confirm that this person is authorized to give you this tax advice. But in the event of SARS employees that would be giving you advice, if they need to give you advice while they are at work, then they don't charge you for that. And by virtue of them working for SARS and working in that division,
they're at work advising, there's just good service to
you can trust, what they'll be advising you on. But if now Thando and I were just discussing right now the moonlighting vibe.
So there's somebody who says, let's call me at 7.
But now, you know,
I'll come to your house.
Looking at their employment contracts, obviously you wouldn't have access to that, but that's something that would be conflict of interest. They would be prohibited from doing that. So you can't use those people, you know. But it's different if, let's say now you are at a party and you're sitting next to this person, they tell you that, no, I work for SARS. And then you start asking them certain tax questions. They can answer you or they can advise you, but they shouldn't be you for that advice.
I mean, it's because these are small things, but these are things that are happening. So people are billing and saying, no, I'll get you a good return. 10% of the return, guaranteed, no matter what.
You know, Pamela, I always say, when it comes to taxes, what confuses me is people are so trusting to go for people that are not professional.
This is it.
Like, if you want to go and extract tooth,
yeah,
you go to a professional, you go to a dentist, to a point where you would walk into that their premises, you'll see their certificates on the wall. But for tax purposes, you can just go for the anyone.
The guy says, no, let me do it for you. No. In fact, some are still, they have not even gotten their junior degrees yet. No, I'll do it for you. I'll do it quickly.
If you need quality and you need proper advice, get a proper professional, you know. Mm. Then you are rest assured that you'll get professional advice. And what's good is, if this tax professional gives you an incorrect opinion,
yes,
and then you submit based on what this person has advised mm-hmm. you, and then it turns out that the opinion, SARS does not agree with that opinion,
yes,
SARS can always obviously reverse that computation, but they will say to you, they won't charge you interest and penalties mm-hmm. because you relied on the opinion of a professional.
Got you. So the divorce that you could have between yourself and the practitioner, because sometimes I think it gets quite messy, where the practitioner has all your submissions and is responsible for your submissions. And I think they log themselves on on your profile.
And become your public officer.
Correct. Yes. And sometimes that, I think I've heard, can get quite tricky.
Yeah. It can. So what I've seen, what people would do is they would give them access rights.
Login details.
Yes, login details. But you'll also have viewing rights as a taxpayer so that you can see what was submitted. Yeah. Because you are responsible for these taxes because the relationship... The SARS has a relationship with you as a taxpayer, not with your tax practitioner. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so how do you then get back your own, your profile?
Your profile. So when you appoint them as your tax practitioners, you'll have two access rights. So they will have access rights in terms of they'll be able to edit and submit your tax returns, and you'll have viewing rights, so you can always view whatever that they're submitting without necessarily amending what they've submitted. But if you're no longer happy with them, you can ask them to release your profile. Mm. Now, with some of the tax practitioners, you find that the relationship is already ugly and she's delaying to release the profile. That's not allowed because, you know, by law, this is your profile as a taxpayer. You can report that person into SARS. But also the system, I think the e-filing has become smart. You can request this person to release. If they don't release within 5 days, then it gets automatically released.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Gosh, Pussy, where do people get hold of you?
They can email us at info@netvest.co.za or they can call us at 010-824-0134.
Do you know what we're discussing next week?
It's tough next week.
it's going to be tough because there's a framework now. Yeah. And so we're still going to go and see what the money's bills are saying. And then we can get to the finer details of what some of these things imply for all of us. But so we'll have a look at that.
We'll have a look at that. And we can touch a little bit on the Shabalalas because now there's the youngest investor there.
Okay.
You know, the young ones, they love trading.
This one
is excited.
Yes.
He says, I want to trade and I want to. So he's trading, is trading in different countries, different foreign currencies, is earning foreign dividends. We'll also be looking at that.
Excellent. That's really a good way to do it next week. Thank you, Busi. Thank you so much
thank
for coming.
Thank you so much, Pamela. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Busi Suyam Fletcher is the CEO of NetVest.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.